entrance. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Good morning. Like, that's the first time I've ever heard a music bit be right before the gospel and then right after. I was so a little thrown off. I love it. My name is Maggie Breen, and I am your Northeast Region missionary, and I'm really delighted to be back here again with the community of St. Peter's in Hebron, and I hope that you'll stay at coffee hour to chat with me some. The time that we get together at coffee hour is a great time to ask and answer questions and to share stories and for me to get to know all of you a little bit better. Jesus loves to teach in parables, and today is no exception. From our gospel reading, Jesus tells us he is the vine, God is the vine grower, and we are the branches. Want to know a secret about me? I'm a terrible gardener. Like, really awful. My philosophy about gardening is that I will put the plants in the ground and God will do the rest. And when I weed, which isn't very often, I do it so poorly that I pull out both weed and flower, which then just means I have to go back and badly plant things again. And I've never pruned a thing in my life. Pruning, in fact, the thought of pruning makes me want to run away as fast as I can. Want to know another secret? I actually do know something about plants that have vines and how vines work. The only thing I have ever successfully grown in my garden is winter squash. My husband is currently cultivating grapes, and we have unintentionally supported a bumper crop of raspberries in all the wrong places. I've learned two important lessons from my little squash plant. The first is that you only need one plant to be successful in order to have a lot of squash. The second is that the main plant, the vine, keeps growing to support the branches. Give squash an inch and you'll lose your garden or your yard. The grapes in my garden taught me about support systems. The trellis we built to support the grapes came down in the winter snow. And when I set about weeding this week, now remember a minute ago what I said about weeding? I'm completely indiscriminate about weeding. If it looks like a weed, I'm going to pull it out. But I found that the grapevine had sent its branches into the weeds. So the very things I was trying to pull out were supporting the branches of the grapevine. I decided to leave that project for my husband Michael because I assumed he wanted to keep the grapes, and it was safer for all parties if I just left the garden. And then there are the raspberries. Mike and I have been on a war against raspberries. Not because we don't like them, quite on the contrary. But they are everywhere. What I've learned from raspberries is that if even one little vine, one half-dead, scraggly-looking vine, is there in the yard, when spring comes around, seemingly millions of new raspberry vines are cropping up everywhere. Raspberries never give up. Jesus is the true vine, God is the vine grower, and we are the branches. Every part of God's creation is a branch on the vine. My very limited gardening experience has taught me about how God takes what we are willing to give, that support systems are critical, and that perseverance pays off. So what does that mean for us? For here in this community, the members of St. Peter's, for us as part of the larger Anglican Church, and as members of communities that are outside of these walls. So where do we learn about God, support systems, and perseverance. It is here in this community that we learn, that we grow, that we are challenged, and where we practice being beloved community together. It is here in this place where we can communally check our connection to the vine and the vine grower. The community experience is important because we don't walk on this path alone. This is our support system, much like the trellis that used to hold up my grapes. The vine between us and God is a two-way connection powered by love. God feeds the vine with love. God fills us up and sends us out. God accepts what we are willing to give and capitalizes on it in order to send us out into the world. We, as the branches, spread the love outside of these walls, then come back to this Eucharistic community to refill our love reservoirs and share our stories and experiences. It is through our experiences that the love we spread goes back to God. It is through sharing, building community, and showing up that our love gets back to God. How do we share God's love? Do we share it with everyone or only some people? How do we choose who we are going to share God's love with? Our second lesson today pretty much calls everybody out on who we're showing our love to. 1 John says, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. Ouch. I believe that God is love, and that everything that God creates was and is created out of love, to be loved, and to show love. So, who do we love? I love my family, I love my friends, and I love my animals. I think I love my animals best because they never talk back. I love my friends because we have lots of things in common. And I love my family because we have years and years of memory and care together. I love the members of St. Paul's Wyndham Center, which is my home parish, because they raised me to be the person that I am. I love them because they are not all like me. And it was that place, that Eucharistic community, where I first really learned how to be accepting of difference, in order to be in a community that I chose to be in. Who do you love? Sometimes that's an easy question to answer. We have ready-made answers like our family, friends, and pets. But who don't you get along with? Who is challenging to love? Who have you labeled as other that you would prefer not to interact with? Labels are really powerful, and I've written some of them here on this poster. And if you can't see them, I encourage you to come up to these beautiful pews in the front. I took a few minutes and thought of as many labels as I could. Words that people either own for themselves or words that have been assigned to them by someone else at some point in their life. There is probably a word or two up here that you have either used to describe yourself, you have described someone else as, or someone has described you as. And these words have positive or negative associations with them, depending on how you might be owning the word. And as you look at this poster, is there a word that stands out to you? Is there a word that makes you think, oh, I don't like people who are X? Or have you ever said something like, those people are fill in the blank? And as you look at this poster, I'd like you to think about what the cost is of love. What is the personal cost of loving someone primarily because they are already loved by God? I think the cost of love is the loss of our comfort. In order for me to love someone that I perceive as different, I must become uncomfortable. As I move through the Northeast region from Enfield to Glastonbury and Danielson to Plainfield, I have met so many different people. The very nature of my job means that I must show up and love people. I show up in communities like yours and I listen to your stories. I am a representative of the Episcopal Church of Connecticut, hired to remind communities that they are branches on the same vine. To remind you that you are not alone, that there are 18 other Episcopal parishes in this region and roughly 160 other Episcopal parishes in Connecticut, all full of people who are showing up in love with their communities. Every time you come to this place to worship, or open your doors for a community event, or engage with God, you are working on and working with love. I come around and find out what you are passionate about and work towards connecting you with other people who are passionate about the same or similar things. The beauty about being passionate about something is that people who are really different can have similar interests. In this way, we learn to love people. We learn to accept difference. We strengthen our connection to the vine and our connection in community. You make a choice to love people. However someone lives their life, it should not affect your ability to see God in them and love them. You don't have to like, approve, or agree with someone else's choices. God sees all of these labels and a million more than I haven't thought of and says love matters more than any of it. Love means that you can meet people where they are. Open your doors and open your hearts to people and move into patterns that will result in restoration and reconciliation. With a strong connection to the vine, with a good support system and a healthy dose of perseverance, we can change the world. Amen.